We're going to continue on Becoming a Millionaire God's Way with my notes of that version of this message. And let's just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning and glorify you, Lord, and magnify you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And Father, we just thank you for all the things you are doing and have done on our behalf. And we just glorify you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that your goodness and mercy just follows us everywhere we go. And Father, I'm so grateful to you and so thankful to you for the honor to share your word with your people. And I thank you, Father, that this word is falling on good ground. And I thank you, Father God, that it will help us to grow and mature and be the people, the men and women of God, children growing up to be adults, to love you and honor you and serve you with our whole heart. And we glorify you and we magnify you, Father God, in the holy, mighty, majestic name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you receive all the glory, you receive all the honor, and you receive all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When I realized that Pastor wasn't going to be here and I would be sharing this part of the Connections class on Becoming a Millionaire God's Way, it was already in my heart, and I go, oh, I know exactly what to do. I believe God has already told me, because, you know, with all the things that we do and everything that God gives us and he blesses us with, the first thing for us to do to become a millionaire, I'm looking at my scripture, that's why I have my head down. We're going to turn to Proverbs 3:9. The first thing we do to become a millionaire God's way is to honor God. And when we honor God with our whole heart and everything that we have, that's when we're going to become a millionaire God's way. Because if God can't trust us with $5, guess what? He's not going to trust you with $5,000, $5 million, $5 trillion, $5 whatever, gazillion dollars. Because if you can't trust God right now with $5, $10, $20, or $100, you're not going to trust him when you get more. You know why? Because the enemy always makes you think you need more, and if you had more, then you can do it. But if you learn, if you practice right now with $5, $10, $3, $1, if you practice honoring God with that right now, I promise you, he will stretch it, and you will do more with $5 than you did with the $500 you kept and didn't tithe on. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, so Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And then 10 says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You know, it's an interesting thing. We pray and we believe God that he will bless us and great things will happen on our behalf. But when God blesses us, my pastor back home used to, I'm looking for another version of this. My pastor back home used to say, God take you off of rubber heels and put you on rubber wheels, and you forget the God who gave you the rubber wheels. Now all of a sudden you can't come to church, you don't have time, you know, you're too busy, you need to make more money, you got a second job, you got a third job, you know, you got all kinds of things going on, and you just can't do it. And then not only that, but when once you get all those jobs and you make all that money, then you don't even honor God with that because you feel like you need more. But if God isn't the first thing on our mind and the first thing on our heart every day, all the time, we've lost track of things. We've lost track of things in life because, you know what? It goes way beyond our money. It's to our heart and our service. We actually have service 2 days a week, Sunday morning and Wednesday night. You know, we're all so busy, yeah, but we're not that busy that we can't give God that time. We're just not that busy because God is so good to us. He allows us to wake up every morning. He lets us suck his air.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Literally.
Yeah.
You wake up and you just breathe and you don't even think about it. He's so good. You when you sleep, he lets you use his air.
Amen.
You don't even think about it. But when it comes to honoring God, it's always seems like it's like a second thought. Oh, I'll do that later. But when we honor God with our first fruits, we honor God with our first fruits of our time. When we have things that are needed and things that are happening for church in the body, we shouldn't start planning for church on Sunday morning or Saturday night. You know what? We need to start planning for the next service after the service that we're in.
Amen.
The service that's on Wednesday night, we need to be planning for that service right when we start. We need to be thinking, what do we need to do? First things first, first fruits. If we're putting God first. Okay, so in the American Amplified Bible, it says, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy vats shall overflow with new wine. You know, I mean, God wants to just pour into us. He wants us to be millionaires.
Amen.
I mean, He has set that in motion for us. But you know what? We stop up our own blessing. And when we think about the scripture that says, when the word of God says that, God says, don't want for anything, don't think about anything. And he gives a description to say, look at the birds. Do you think the birds wake up in the morning and say, do you think God's going to give us some food today? You think they wake up in the morning and go, oh, you know, I didn't see anybody drop any crumbs today. What are we going to do? When I was in Grenada, they had these crows. They were like flying everywhere. And we would have lunch out by the beach. On It was good. I was suffering for Jesus, though. Anyway, we would be on the beach, and they had lunch at this terrace thing or something, and it was like a all you can eat buffet kind of thing. And so we would go out there and eat, and I kid you not, the crows would fly in, and while we're sitting at the table, they would literally land on the table and pick food out of your plate. And if you went shoot, they didn't shoot, you know, they're like, you shoot. And I mean, literally, I saw one just pick up a chicken bone and just fly over to the ledge. I saw another one pick up noodles, because one day we had some Italian something new. They pick up the noodle and fly over. And if you left food on your plate and the people were coming to take, they just sit there and just eat. Do you think they thought, well, now, you know, God doesn't want us eating off of Teresa's plate? They ate. They just flew. And I mean, it wasn't like flocks of them, you know, but they would be here and there, and they just, if you turn your back, I am not exaggerating. If you turn your back, they just take it.
Yeah.
I was like, some bold birds. But you know what? They knew their right. Nobody was trying to kill them or anything. You may have shoot them away, but they just kept coming back. If God cares that much for those crows, what do you think he cares about us?
Amen. Yes.
God birthed us with the Spirit of God within us, and he loves us more than he loved those crows. We don't have to go steal food off people's plates.
Amen, amen.
God has blessed us. He has blessed us with a great supply. All he wants us to do is honor him and put him first.
Amen.
You know, when you get in your mind past the point of just thinking about money with honoring God, you start sowing seeds of time and honoring God and asking God what he wants you to do. Great things start happening on your behalf. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Samuel 2. This one is not as nice. 1 Samuel 2. Okay, so I'm going to try to condense this because, you know, we're on a time schedule. It's going. So 1 Samuel 2, the 12th verse, this is about Eli and his sons. And how many people know the story about Eli and his sons? A couple people. Okay, let's go to Teresa Watts' version. Okay, Eli was a man of God, a prophet, and he was over the temple. And so he had two sons that were in the temple with him and working and doing all kinds of stuff. But you know what? They didn't honor God. Their dad honored God, but they didn't honor God. And when all the things that God told them to do, they did differently. But let's see if we can get through this. Now, the sons of Eli were corrupt. Well, we start off with the beginning right there. Like I said, if you don't like this, don't get mad at me. I didn't make it up. I'm just reading it out of the Bible. Okay. They did not know the Lord. Well, that's another terrible thing. First of all, they were corrupt. And secondly, they didn't know the Lord. So now we know why they didn't honor God. So that's just a telltale for you right there. You could almost say it like this. If you don't honor God, maybe you don't know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, "Give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "They should really burn the fat first, then they may take as much as your heart's desire," he would then answer him, "No, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force." Okay, so, you know, there's another whole book, Jeremiah, that talks about the men and women of God that shear the sheep. You know, that's another whole thing. But we're not going to go there today. We're just talking about not honoring God. So there was a way they did this. But these guys, they just thought, "I'm living large and in charge. I'm in control here. I'm going to do whatever I want to do when I want to do. And you're going to do it. I tell you to do it. I don't care what you say. I don't care if you don't like it. But I'm in charge, so you're going to do it." You know, or that could be, let's just take it from the person that's not in charge. Let's just take it from the help. You know, there's always something. If you work a job or wherever you are, there are rules, chain of command. You may not like them. You may not agree with them. But they're in there for a reason. It's because somebody has broken the rule, and either somebody has gotten hurt or something happened or cost the company money or whatever the case may be. So it's there for a reason. And sometimes it's an inconvenience, but sometimes it's for safety. So just say, for instance, you're not in charge and you were told, "Okay, go down to the corner. And when you get to the corner, you want to go right. And then when you go right, jump in the left-hand lane and then go on down to Memorial and then cross on." And you're thinking, "Why do I have to turn right and jump in the left-hand lane? It would be quicker if I stayed in the right-hand lane, you know, because the right-hand lane, the traffic runs faster." You know, all these things in your mind, you're just thinking. But there may be a reason that they told you that. Because for all you know, the right-hand lane could be working on it and it's just bumped all up and there's big holes in it and it's going to make holes in your tire. So even though it's normally the faster lane, maybe today it's not. We just need to learn how to get in and follow instructions and do what we were told. Because when we learn how to follow instructions and honor the person that's in charge, you're just training yourself to honor God. Because if you can't honor and follow instructions of the natural person that's standing here right in front of you, how are you going to honor and follow instructions of God whom you can't see? If you're going to trust God who you can't see, you got to learn how to trust the people you can see.
Amen.
You know, and you think, "Well, I'm an adult. Nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm grown. You know, I'll be 56 in 2 weeks. What y'all talking about? You can't tell me nothing. I'm grown." But the rule is the rule. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. God's word doesn't change. He says, "Honor me. When you honor me, I'll honor you." So these guys, long story short, they didn't honor God. They just kept on doing whatever they want. I even think they were like with whoever they wanted to be with, whenever they wanted to be with them, however, and did whatever they wanted to do because nobody could stop them. I told her she could be late because I needed a Band-Aid. So they would just stop and do whatever they wanted to do. But you know what? Their father, who loved them so much, would not correct them. And here's the other thing. You know, whether you are a parent or you're just somebody in charge, when God speaks to your heart and uses you to be the person to order correction, you know what? If you don't do that, their blood gonna be on your hand. Amen. If we love our children, our family, and you guys so much, we need to be willing not to be the good cop all the time. Because all the time being the good cop is not the right thing. You know, because some people are going to get their feelings hurt because they walk in the flesh and they don't see what the Spirit of God is trying to do in their lives. But I'm telling you, correction is not fun. It's not fun for the person that's giving it, and it's not fun for the person that's receiving it. But I tell you something, if you walk in correction, you will grow. Amen. Because when you learn to walk in correction, you're going to see some great things happening in your life. And if you can't walk in correction, you're not going to be no millionaire God's way. I don't care how many classes you go to. Amen. I don't care how many Dave Ramsey classes you get and learn how to manage your money. I don't care how many big deals you get and how many big things, you know, get blessed with you. Go to the book of Habakkuk. It says it's like you got holes in your bag. Because you don't honor God. I'm telling you, it's not just with your money. It's with your time. It's with your service. It's with coming to church. You know, when you come to church and you say, well, I serve God. When you come to church, if you say you serve God, what do you do when you get here? Ask yourself that question. If you are serving God, what do you do when you get here? When you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress come to serve you, what do? Somebody tell me what they do. Hello, it's not a trick. Because they're serving you, right? What else do? They just bring you water, Miss Carol, and say, I served you water, now the rest of you on your own.
No, they continue to wait on you while they're there, serve you while they're there.
So when they bring you your food, they go, okay, here's your food now, I'll see you later. I'll come back when I want my money. Is that what they do?
No, they don't.
What do they do?
They want to make sure that everything's okay.
And then what? They keep coming back. Do you want some more water?
Right.
You want another Dr. Pepper?
Right.
Do you want dessert?
Right. Yeah.
You want an Italian cream cake?
Yes, I do.
They keep coming back. They keep serving you.
Yes.
They keep saying, is there anything else I can get you? Did you want some more bread? Do you need some butter? You know, was that to your liking? Is it hot enough? Or was it to your taste? If you ordered a steak, is it like you like it? Will you cut into it to see if it's done enough or see if it's too raw, if it's too dry? You know, they're serving you.
Yes.
They're honoring you.
That's right. Amen.
So when you come to church, who do you serve?
God.
How do you serve God?
I serve.
But what do you do when you get here? You sit down and just serve?
Praise His name.
What else do you do?
Praise people.
What else do you do? What else do you do?
Set up.
What else? Okay, now we're talking here.
Because
is it fixed when you get here, when we first get here at 8 o'clock?
Nope.
Did some special crew come in the night and make it happen?
Nope.
Was all the stuff here when you got here, or did somebody have to find it somewhere?
Someone had to bring it in.
Did the angels fly it over? Alex, say, I'm the angel that flies it. And guess what? He didn't fly it over at 8 o'clock. He got up at... what time?
Charles and I are around 5:30.
You know what? And so for us that come in, we say we're serving God. But you know what? They're serving God. We say we're serving God and loving people. You need to ask yourself the question the next time you say that. How am I serving God? Because serving God is more than coming to church and sitting down and doing praise and worship and putting your tithe and offering in occasionally. When we were in Brother Copeland's service a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about The same thing you hear all the time, which should not be true. The church runs off of 20% of the people's tithes and offerings. Do you know we literally have enough people coming in here on a regular basis that we should not be in this building anymore?
Amen.
I'm serious. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was doing a deal, and you know, it's just been an amazing week. I feel like I've been walking on a glory cloud. And so, but the Lord has been showing me things. So this individual came in, and I was helping them. We were, you know, doing some stuff with a house, and some things happened. So I said, I'm going to pray for you this morning. I said, because I'm just telling you right now, glory to God, the anointing of God is all over me right now. We're going to pray about this thing. We're going to get this house sold in the name of Jesus. We need to figure out what's working here, because I can tell you that you've had at least 50 people that have come through your house, and then we had one deal that busted, and there's no reason why this house ain't sold. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a giver. I'm a tither. I serve God. I honor him.
Amen.
So what's stopping up my blessing?
Amen.
So we begin to pray, and she's praying, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm telling the Holy Ghost, get in people's business, and I'll be like, no, Lord, I don't want to say that. You want to be the good cop.
Yeah.
So we finish praying, and she's, praise God, and I go, I need to ask you a question. And she goes, yes, Mrs. Watson. I go, do you tithe? No, ma'am. I said, oh my gosh. I said, that's the hold up right here. So she started telling me, I said, oh no, we got to take care of this. I said, you need to give me permission to call your husband. I said, because we got to wrap this up, girl. I said, I am working too hard and spending way too much of God's money and time. This house has been on the market for 6 months, and I'm telling you, I am not kidding you, had to have at least 50 people go through there. And here's the worst thing, they got it listed so low that the person that's going to buy the house is going to at least come in with like $20,000 worth of equity.
Wow.
How can you be so stupid and still breathe? I called her husband up on the phone, and you know that wasn't an easy thing, because men don't like you telling them nothing about their money and what to do. So I told her, I said, you go home. I was in my office. I had just two regular envelopes. I said, here, she just got a job. I said, here's an envelope for you, and here's an envelope for him. I said, you write down what his tithe is going to be, and you write that envelope out, and you write a check for him. You write down what your tithe is going to be. You write the envelope out, and you put your check in there. I said, when you go home, you put it on his side of the bathroom where his sink. You put it right there, and you put yours on your side. And I said, don't you say a word to him, because we're going to let the Holy Ghost deal with him. Because he got to learn to trust God.
Amen.
You, what you're making already is not enough. You're robbing God. And you still broke.
Amen.
So anyway, she said, yeah, and you know, okay. So praise God, I call him. And he's driving, he's at work. And I get to talking to him, and I said, your wife gave me permission to call you. And you know, I go on and so on. And I said, dude, you got tithe. I said, you the one, the reason this house ain't sold. You robbing God. Yes, ma'am, I know, I tithe sometimes. I said, no. Part-time obedience is no obedience. If you are not tithing every time you get your check and money, you are not a tither. You can't tithe if you get paid twice a month and you tithe at the beginning of the month, but the end of the month you don't tithe, because that ain't enough. No, you're a liar. You're not a tither. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to God. Stop trying to make everybody else think you. Don't get mad at me. It's just the way I delivered it, but it's in the Bible. If you're not doing it consistently, you are a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Lies, lies, all lies. So you walk around and you say, God isn't blessing me and this isn't working and I keep doing. No. You are not being blessed because you are a thief. You are a robber. You rob God. You are stealing God's money.
Amen.
This is a true story. There was a guy who was a missionary. He was out in the woods, and he was riding with a guy who was driving him around in the jungle where real lions, tigers, and bears. So, actually, the guy, he wasn't a missionary. He was somebody else, but the guy that was driving was a Christian. So they were talking. And so the guy that was driving was talking to the man, and it was dark. And they got to talk about God and tithe and offerings, and the guy said he didn't tithe. The guy stopped the car, the Jeep. He said, get out. He said, what? He said, get out of the Jeep. He said, you rob God. He goes, I'll take my chances with somebody that robbed me, but you rob God, get out. He said, you more likely in the jungle with the lions, tigers, and bears than you are in the car with me. He goes, I don't want you to bring condemnation on me because you robbing God. Get out of my car. That was a tough thing. But you know what? If we don't honor God, if you have that much pride in yourself and think that you got all this, that it all belongs to you, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. So when you come, and you know, I mean, we've got a system now, and Pastor's way nicer than me because, you know, he's always the good cop. Yeah. Seriously, I promise you. But you come to me, the first thing I go, are you tithing? Because if you're not tithing, you are robbing God. And guess what? If you're not tithing, when you get in a fix, it's not fair for us to give you all of what Charlene has put in and honoring God. And then here you come, you just need a quick little fix because you haven't honored God and you've robbed him forever. You're taking somebody else's blessing. We're getting to the point now, you say you want, okay, we'll look back in the offering and see how much you give. We'll give you what you gave, $50. You say, well, that's hard. Yeah, because you robbed God. You did it. So, praise the Lord. That was my version of that. Now, let's... What time is it? Oh, I got lots of time. Okay, so then I wanted to go to... David. Oh, I didn't mark it. Let me see if I can find it. Well, I wanted to talk about when David was in the cave. With Saul. And let's see. Da, da, da. When David was in the cave with Saul, where is it in... you know, Saul was chasing him and everything, and David was running. I can't find it, but you know what I'm talking about. And David was a man after God's own heart. He honored God with all that he did. You know, I admire David because he honored God, but even though he honored God, he messed up. But when he messed up, he just repented, got right with God, and was still blessed. So, you know, that lets you know there's hope for us. If you've been slacking, whether it's in your tithe and offering or in your serving or whatever the case may be, God is so gracious. All you need to do is just stop and say, Lord, I messed up. Please forgive me. And the Word of God said, He is so good. The Word of God said He takes our sins and throws them into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. The Word of God says He takes our sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west. And when you go back and say, like your kids, well, I was going to ask you, Mom, but I already know you're going to say no. I would say, okay, then the answer is no. Because if you don't have enough confidence to believe that I love you and I want the best for you, then, yeah, the answer is no. You need to learn to trust me and know that we are your parents. We love you. We're going to help you. We're going to help you make the right decisions. We're going to do the right things. Now, sometimes when we help you make the right decisions, you don't necessarily like it. But that takes me to this other scripture. We'll get back to David. Right here, I think it is. Let me see. I have Matthew, the 15th chapter. Let's see. Okay, so okay, Matthew 15. Let's just start at number one. Look, Matt, this book is named after you. disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered to them, why do you also trespass in the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Oh my. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from it, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You know what? I'm telling you, if you can't honor your mother, your father, your employers, the people you work with, you're not going to honor God. Because there's another scripture in the Bible that says, is a servant greater than the master? You know, so when there's no need for us even to get mad, even as a parent, if they don't honor us. If they don't honor me, Miss Carolyn, they ain't honoring God. Why should I get upset? They dishonored God before they dishonored me. Amen. And if they're not smart enough to honor God, they're not going to honor me. Yeah. I got to let it go. Yeah. I got to let it go. Even in your work environment, when you're working with the people and you're in charge and you're telling them to do something and they're disrespectful and they don't honor you, pray for them. Because you know what? They're about to get fired.
Yes, right.
And they're going to really be in trouble. And then they're going to be coming back to you going, I don't know why they fired me. I don't know why. Because you didn't honor. You didn't follow the rules. You didn't obey. You didn't do what was right. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this is a big thing. In our country today, in our society, people have no honor. They have no honor for the leadership. We need to pray for the people that are in charge over us. If you don't like what you see, you need to be on your knees.
Amen.
And you know what? We just have to keep believing God that the people that we have in leadership, whether you voted for them or not, the Bible says that God will change the heart of a king.
Yes. Amen.
Do you think his word is a lie?
No.
Then why are you fretting about everything you see on the news every day?
Right.
So what, they close the border? Guess what? God is protecting us.
Amen.
And when it's time for the borders to be opened back up, they'll be opened back up. Get over it. Get a life. Somebody hasn't read the Bible, because you know what? When back in the old days, when the men and the women of God were serving God and they were going for a country, he'd tell them, kill everybody. Kill the men, the women, and the children. Don't let nobody live. Read the Bible.
Amen.
Why are we trying to rewrite the Bible? I'm just saying. And you know what? When they did not do exactly what God told them to do, what happened? Not only that, but those kids rose up and said, you know what? You killed my mom and my daddy, my sister and my brother. I'm going to kill you in your sleep. Then you wonder why people coming in your back door and killing you and robbing you and doing all kinds of stuff. And everybody want to know, what would Jesus do? Well, apparently somebody ain't read the Bible. Because Jesus said, destroy them all. So, you know what? I'm telling you, if we don't learn to honor, if we don't teach our children to honor, if we can keep going around saying stuff to the police officer and cursing them out and burning up the flag and marching because of whatever, you know, we better read the Bible. Because, you know, when the children of Egypt wanted a king and God kept telling them they didn't need a king, they wanted to be like everybody else and get a king. And then when they got a king, they didn't want the king no more. Because the king was being mean to them. They should have just honored and served God and loved them and did what they were doing, and they would have been happy. We pray for things that we think we want that we don't really want those things.
Amen.
We got to read the Bible. And if we don't read the Bible and get in God's face and know what God is saying to us, we're going to really be distraught and distressed about a lot of stuff that's happening, and it don't even have to affect you.
Amen.
I heard Brother Keith Moore say the other day on Friday night, if you can listen to his messages, you should. I forget the name of the series he's doing on Friday nights, but he said, we need to get over it. Racism will always exist. But he's talked, because he talked about the woman at the well. When she was at the well and Jesus was up and she was drawing water, and then she looked and he asked her for some water. She go, well, why would you want to get water from me? You know, you a Jew, and, you know, she was, what was she, something. She wasn't a Jew.
Samaritan.
And she goes, they don't speak. That was racism. That was division. They didn't talk. They didn't do anything together.
Right.
So he goes, thank you, brother. God bless him. She goes, why would you even want to get water from me? We don't even talk. We don't have coffee together, Miss Carolyn. Jews and Samaritans, they don't have nothing to do with each other. And you literally want to drink out of my cup? You want me to draw water from the well for you, the Jew, who's supposed to be better than us, and you going to drink out of the poor little Samaritan's cup? And Jesus said, yeah, I want to drink some of your water. He said, but I have a water that you drink of, you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
Now, first of all, she was saying, we're different because we are of a different race. And when she realized that Jesus wouldn't go with that, then she tried to bring it into religion. Well, we're different in religion, too. I mean, another racism thing in religion. But Jesus was trying to get her to understand, ma'am, amen, I got a water that you can drink of that you'll never thirst again. And it doesn't matter that I'm a Jew and you're a Samaritan, or I'm a Catholic and you're a Protestant or a Baptist or Holy Ghost filled. You know, we need to all get together and work together and see this thing work together as a whole. Because when we honor God first, then all the rest of it come together. And there's always going to be racism on the outside of the church. But like Brother Keith said, it doesn't have to exist in here.
Amen.
We can make a choice. We can make a decision. And until we make that choice and make that decision and know that we're all cut from the same blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, there's going to continually be a problem.
Amen.
You got to get past that.
Amen.
I hate Facebook. I hate it. Amen. People put stupid stuff on there.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, it just goes to show you how immature you are. Stop putting your business in the street. Right. Like somebody said, get off of Facebook and get your face in the book.
Yeah.
When you do, we're going to be done with a lot of things. And you know what? You're not going to be a millionaire God's way until you get your face in the book. Until you know exactly what God's word says about you. Until you learn how to honor God. Not just with your money, but in your time. And yes, you're going to come to church. And yes, things are not going to happen the way you like them or the way you want them. But here's my thing. If you're not the answer to the problem or the solution, you are the problem.
Amen.
Amen. So get over it. If you think you have a better way to make the praise and worship go better, hey, then do something. Don't just talk about it. If you got a gift, be committed to it and do it. If you can figure out how to play a keyboard, and if you can play drums, and you can stay on beat, and you know, and you can come to rehearsals and do all the things, then you don't know what the people give and what they do. You know, I thank God for Alex and Charles, who's been doing this forever and ever. And yeah, we've had groups of people and teams of people that come and go, and we always find a reason why we can and why we don't. But you know what? I look at Charles. I said, I don't know if you've ever moved anything, but Charles is a person that can move stuff. And I mean, he fits it in like a sardine, like when you open the can of sardines and there one is laying and the other one. When Charles opens up something, it's all tucked in very neatly. You don't open the door and it all falls out, because he has everything has a place, because he fits it in like a puzzle. A gift to do that.
Amen.
You know, but everybody has a certain gift. Monica, she's like organized. We're going to do something. And I'm like, okay, Chica, come on, we're going to do something. And she's like, no, Pastor, we got to do it. I was like, well, why would we do it like that? Now, I'm just saying, let's just get it all in. But Monica's like, she got to have it organized. You know, we're going to do, oh, what day? We go, okay, she got a day, a time. What time you coming? What we're going to do? And I'm like, why can't you just live free? Why do they gotta be so so structured. Why can't we just have fun? You know, I'm the free spirit one. Me and Mariah, we like to have fun. Let's do it and have fun at the same time. You know, let's just make a party with it. You know, we're going to do it. We're going to get some snacks while we're doing it. We got to have chocolate. We got to have Dr. Pepper. We got to have some candy and cookies. We can have a little meat in there, too. But then we got to have the music. It needs to be loud. You got to feel it, you know, in your spirit. And then we'll get that together. Now, once we get all these things together and make sure we have all that organized, then we can do the work. That's the way it goes, you know. And if we have time, we'll finish. If not, we'll just do it another day. It's all about having a good time. Monica, she's like, no, 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 Pastor. We need this. We got to have our boxes. I'm like, your brain thinks way too hard. She wants to plan out like 4 weeks in advance. I was like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do tomorrow. 4 weeks from now, I have no clue. You know, who knows? In 4 weeks, we could be Jamaica or something, you know, fun. But you know, everybody has a gift and a talent. Some people are gifted to greet people and make them feel welcome. They can meet you and they can act like, they make you feel like they've known you forever. Some people are gifted to just serve and just serve and serve you and not make you feel like you inconvenience them. Some people are just like that. Some people are gifted. They can cook all kinds of things and just make it look like it's always from a restaurant every time they post it on Facebook. And you wonder why they didn't invite you to dinner. Everybody has a gift. You know, don't despise somebody else's gift or don't talk down to them because they didn't do it like you would have done it. If it's something that needs to be done and you know you are better at that than do it, then say, can I be the person to organize this? You got to think about it. There's so many different things that we can do that we can help each other and we can be a blessing to the body without dropping out and getting mad because it didn't happen when we wanted it. We weren't there when it should have been. You don't know what happened, why they didn't get there. And maybe they're late all the time. God bless them. They need to be on time. But you know what? Don't let that affect you. Amen. You're missing out on your blessing. Honor God with your talent. And when you honor God with your talent, guess what? That's when you're going to become a millionaire. But not until then. In Jesus' name, amen.